The Boiled Sports Handsome Hour is sponsored by Martin Vintage. Go to martinvintage.com and check out their excellent selection of high-quality Purdue t-shirts. Enter Boiled at checkout to get 20% off your order. martinvintage.com. If you'd like to sponsor the Handsome Hour, please contact us at boiledsports@gmail.com. We're cheap. I mean, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's not a new thing. Right. Now, when a stadium is named, you know, like, adult sex toys place.
That's stadium. A great place to play, though. The sight lines are all very good there.
And you leave feeling exhausted.
Just need a nap.
Exactly.
Doubleheader, no chance.
What? Man.
Sorry.
How do I enter this place?
You always go in the wrong door.
Welcome to the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour. It is, it's a great week. It's time to be fat and eat, to be like...
It's one of my favorite things.
All Christ. I'm trying to think of fat coaches. Wisconsin coaches always come to mind when I think.
Yeah, exactly. Belema.
Yeah.
Alvarez.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. It's Jay.
Writes itself.
And Boiler Dowd here for a Handsome Hour for... Oh, it's Indiana week. I can't believe it's Indiana week. You know, we're going to sound really old when we talk about how fast time goes, but we were just here.
This is the beauty of football, though, isn't it? That
leaves you wanting more. You always talk about this.
Always does. I mean, I got to tell you, by the end of the college basketball season, even when Purdue's good, I'm like...
You're like, all right.
All right.
And that's not only because we have to write 35 post games.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Even more than that. Football, though, I mean, it's literally a joy for me.
I love football season.
I love football season. I mean,
I
like
football.
You,
sorry, go ahead.
I think you said last week you were just looking for football to watch at some point. I don't remember what you were doing. There was some context that you were just like, just wanted something on, just wanted games on. And that's the way I'm about college football. It's a fantastic thing.
I remember I've told people about... It was when I was, it always seems to be a busy time for me with work when football's going on, especially when the season's starting. And I remember when I was living in Texas, I was in the car driving home and it was a Thursday night back when college football, it's often had Thursday night games, but I think it was one of the years where it was like a real big slate on Thursday night before Labor Day. And you called me and you just said, get to a TV. And I was like, yeah, that's how I feel about like, and it's sad because it's ending very soon. It really is. I mean, because that last, I've said this every year, as much as I love college football, it ends with such a whimper. Like, even with the playoff, right, you've got, this weekend is awesome. And I have some thoughts, by the way, about rivalry weekend I want to share. This weekend is full of just, I love it. You know I love this stuff. Like, college football is where actual rivalries live. It's not manufactured. It's not, you know, Yankees Red Sox is a rivalry, right? Sure. Okay. Yep. But that's really the cities that don't like each other. It's not so much the players, right? When you've got universities that don't like each other, genuinely don't like each other, it ends up being the players too. Like, it's not just, some of them don't care one way or the other, but a lot of them do. A lot of them really. And they grow into it, right?
I mean, that's the thing. Especially by the time they're seniors, they've seen some nastiness at some point generally. And they say, now I get it, you know, now I get it. And we see it. I think that's the neat thing about Purdue IU. This spans obviously across football, basketball. Remember we talked about John Octius really understanding the rivalry by the time he left. And that was only a year. That was pretty cool. And he's of course a Purdue icon because of it. If you, when we speak of Purdue icons in basketball, obviously there's one, you know, recently, Boogie doing what he did last year, over Robert Johnson, I believe was big. Mm-hmm. Octius jumping or dunking over Colin Hartman was big. Mm-hmm. Now, when you think of Purdue versus IU in football, can you give me and I didn't give Jay a chance to prepare for this. So, but I mean, I know what my icon for Purdue versus IU for the old Oaken Bucket is right away. But I'm older by a year, and my
you're older by like 3 months, but that's okay.
Yeah, but the numbers, you know, yeah, for a little while, it's bigger. But my Purdue fandom is older, really. That's a bigger thing. You became a Purdue fan right before you arrived on campus.
Right.
So it might be a little harder. I know, I got a couple now that one
here
of them.
Here we go. Let's get into it. You want me to go first?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Give me your, let's go one at a time. You go.
Okay. Give me first. So when you put me on a spot like that, my thought of representative Purdue IU, first of all, is drubbings in favor of Purdue, because that's usually how it's turned out in the time I've been watching. And if you look at the history, that's really Purdue owns it, obviously.
Right.
But I think
they own it differential. They own it in win loss. Some would say it's not as strong of a rivalry because of that, but
still, I love it.
But I
guess the first thing that comes to mind for me is Purdue putting up over 60 multiple times in my Purdue watching life. And the one that I think I'm partial to for lots of reasons was 2004. Kyle Orton's a senior. It was the year that we talk about the Wisconsin fumble all the time. And Purdue was really good. Purdue got to fifth that year, then struggled for a month. Then righted it at the end, beat Ohio State, I believe, and then beat the ever-living hell out of Indiana. And they wound
700 yards of offense, right?
Yeah. Well, I think everyone who listens has heard me tell this. I was sitting in the south end zone seats when they existed, and I turn around. I have a picture of the scoreboard with, I want to say, like 7 or 8 minutes to go in the game. So like half a quarter to go, and Purdue had like 762 yards of offense. And I don't think they got any more, because I think Tiller just was like, all right, just run into the middle of the line. Like, but that was Kyle Orton's senior year. He threw for, gosh, I don't even know, 455, something insane, right? And it was just relentless. It was like Purdue was letting out the frustration of, yeah, we're really good, and wound up with only 7 wins this year because of just that was the Wisconsin loss, the following week the fumble they lose to Michigan. It felt cathartic, like they just wanted to beat the crap out of somebody, and who better than, you know, your in-state rival? So that's the first one that I think of. So 04, you know, 10 years into
my, it's a good one. And I think the catharsis of it with Orton's hip injury kind of coming, he was getting better. He was trying to get better. I think in the Northwestern game, he was really struggling with injury at that point. And but that IU game, yeah, it was fun. And then they played in the Sun Bowl, right? I hate that. So my first icon, okay, and it's an icon for me partially because of my age. I think I was probably 11 or 12 when this happened, when Rod Woodson did everything. It was a big deal. Purdue wore the very, very true old gold jerseys. They actually, it's pretty neat. They came out and warmed up in one color, and then they went in the locker room and came back.
Yes. And I can only, can you name the other time that's happened?
No.
When they brought back the black jerseys.
Oh, the gold and
white. Went into the locker room and put on the black. They warmed up in gold for that game and then never warm again.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's up there on a scratch.
It's such a trick. It's such a cool trick to do that. Right. You can't do it often. You gotta roll it out once in a while.
Right.
So that's your first one.
That's my first one. My second one is, and this is one that you'll probably remember, is the Mike Allstott kickout, where he just went wild on IU in the bucket. But the play where, you know, he busted through three guys, but he had the kickout tackle where he did everything. He ran through a guy, kicked out of a tackle, ran away from a guy. I mean, in just incredible amount of talent and power. The funny thing is, I say it all the time, you know, Horvath, who I think he's number 40 as well, Allstott was Allstott 44 or 40?
40.
He was 40, wasn't he? So, 40. Yeah, and so in the spring game when he came out, big white fullback, you know, I was like, okay, clearly it's Mike Allstott again, right? And we joked around, me and my brother. The funny thing is, Horvath, I think, is bigger on paper than Allstott is right now. But Allstott, number one, was an intimidating guy. He was unusually built, and he wore that huge neck roll that made him look even bigger, right? And he had a big face mask. Everything was big about Mike Allstott.
He looked like a train. He looked like the human embodiment of a train.
He did. He was a train.
Like he was going to run through you, not around you. By the way, I brought up that 2000 because, you know, we're doing it all from memory and we're getting old. But that 2004 game, Purdue won 63-24. They had 763 yards of total offense. Kyle Orton was 33 of 54 for 522 and 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. And Brandon Kearse,
almost right on. I think you said 520. If my That's awesome.
And Kirsch threw a touchdown. They had 7 passing touchdowns, 2 rushing touchdowns, and the receiving thing is fun to look at too. Kyle Ingram, 11 catches for 209 and 2 TDs. Yeah. Taylor Stubblefield, 14 for 138 and 3 TDs. Yeah. Dorian Bryant, 5 for 131 and a touchdown. I mean, it's insane. It was a video game kind of game, and it was so fun. I mean, Purdue had 42 points at the half.
That was probably the last time Kirsch threw a pass for in the Purdue University or Purdue uniform, right?
Was he not back the following year? No, he was. I just clicked it. He was back. He played in 05.
Okay.
He actually played a fair amount in 05.
But probably first half of the season then, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. But that game, I just remember having so much fun there. And my parents were there for that game, which they've become big Purdue fans since I went. Yep. And they go to games. They'll go to bowl games whether I'm going or not, which I think is cool. They still do that. But I remember they were out there. My now wife was with me. It's one of the only she's probably been to 2 games at Ross-Ade, and that was one of them. So that's fun. She got to see that. We have a picture of us in Ross-Ade in 2004. We looked very youthful and spry and full of life. There were no children involved. Yeah. We were not married yet. You know, the good old days is what, you know.
Fun was just getting started. It's funny, the good old days. I mean, I think I'm going to speak philosophically here for a moment. We go into this, but you know, the good old days, I look back, I was relatively young when I married my wife. I was pretty young, pretty damn young. We were 23 and 22, I think, or 24 and 23. And we looked like we were about 7. The great times being young and married and having all this thing in front of, but there's nothing better than watching a game with your kids too. I mean, that's the thing. There's all these different levels of enjoyment. And that's the thing. You know, the really cool thing, you guys may have heard this before if you're listening out there. Jay, of course, lives in New Jersey. His son Jack came to his first game in Ross-Ade this year, right? Mm-hmm. And Jack is a massive Purdue fan. He is totally brainwashed, just like LBD. And it's sad on some level because this unrequited love that their dads have given is now going to the next generation. That's tough. But the neat thing is Jack's on a bit of an island out there because he's in Jersey, and I'm sure he has people in his class that don't even know what Purdue is, right? So,
yeah. And what's funny is one of his best little buddies, I coached. I got him on the team this year for baseball. And they're just good little friends, and they're in scouts together and baseball together. And I go to something, and his friend is wearing a Purdue sweatshirt. Now, his dad was in the Army. He still supports Army. Like, he wears Army stuff all the time. He didn't go to West Point, but he's an Army guy. I'm not even sure where he went, actually. But they're not they're from the East. And he wears Purdue stuff. And he says now he wants to go to Purdue. Like, and it's all because of my son brainwashing him. So, see, you can just pass it down. What you can do, even if you're not in the area, you can just spread it out there. And, you know, it's good when Purdue has an offense that's fun, like that 04 offense. See how I brought it back?
There you go. Very good. Very good. I was watching Big Ten Network right before we got on here. And one thing is interesting that they were starting to talk. They had some intro and they were talking about the most exciting player in the league. And of course, Rondale Moore comes up in that conversation. And Rondale Moore is a game changer, obviously. The funny thing is, I still think I think he's pretty hurt right now. He showed obviously flashes of what he's capable of again last Saturday. The explosiveness that he has in line is incredible. The ability to break tackles is incredible. And just the body control, what he did, that sprint spin. I told off the air, the guys from Boiled Sports, we like to voice message each other. We don't really talk very often on the phone, but I said I'd like to set up an obstacle course of sorts where we'll put like a 12 to 15 wide foot lane, and we'll say sprint, and then you have to do you have to spin, and let's see if you can stay in that lane, and let's see if you end up on your ear, because I think I would. We've talked about, my center of gravity is nice and low, but that's an incredibly difficult play.
Run nearly full speed. Let's not
nearly full speed.
Going, or at least going pretty fast. Yeah, and this will happen next year. The Bulls Sports Summit next year, we may just rent a house in West Lafayette. And what we'll do is we'll set up this obstacle course in the backyard and we'll videotape it. That way,
that'll be gold.
We'll be able to put that out there and you'll be able to see who, once and for all, who is the most athletic member of world sports.
And the thing is, the younger guys, they've got clear advantages, but we're going to smoke them.
We can, of course we are, but we can handicap and we could put like, because you know, for every year younger you are, you have to wear like another pound of like weights on your ankle.
That's a good idea. It's a real good idea.
Something where it's like, okay, this is what it feels like to be old and fat. See? Well,
yeah, exactly. That there's a commercial that talks about carrying around bags of sugar or whatever, and I'm carrying around a whole grocery cart of them.
So, just to close the loop on the IU memories, did you say there were two? Did I miss the second one? That you come to mind for you?
Yeah. I had Allstott. I had
Woodson. Yes.
And then the third one. I mean, in any of those. When the Tiller offenses were roaring, Drew Brees, Kyle Orton, those are iconic. And
We didn't even mention. Drew Brees with the Rose.
We
didn't even. I mean, that felt like a foregone conclusion by then. But they did need to beat IU.
Yeah,
they had to win that game.
The hell out of them. That was the thing. It was so good. It's like they needed to beat them to get in. They knew what they had to do. I mean, I believe somebody lost early in the day to make sure all the tiebreakers were working out perfectly. And all Purdue had to beat was lowly IU. And did they ever? that was a fun one. And think about the youthful thing that you and I were talking about a minute ago. Drew Brees looks pretty youthful when he's coming off the field with that one. So does Tiller. So
I'm bringing that up right now too, because that is one we did not think about. So Purdue wins that game 41-13. Drew Brees went 20 of 29 for 216, one touchdown, one interception. He was not, the machine he'd been in the past.
Right.
But
they ran the ball a lot. Montrell Lowe had a very good
208 yards and four touchdowns for Montrell Lowe.
Yeah, and then I think a year later, they were at IU in the monsoon, and yes, Purdue needed to get 1.5 yards. Mm-hmm. And
it looks like 13-7.
Yeah. And Anton Randall-L got his only bucket. And Tiller was very angry at Montrell Lowe for not being able to get that yard and a half.
Well, and that was Tiller had what, two bucket losses, I think? I think he was 10-2.
Yeah.
In his 12 years, which is awesome.
That is all right. That is all right. He was very good versus the rivals. There's no doubt. He was good versus IU. He was good versus Notre Dame. But especially good versus IU.
I would have liked this Brohm era to include some swings at Notre Dame.
Yeah, and so let's. There's some tense problems in your sentence there. Like you said, would have is what I thought you said there.
I said it almost as though it's
almost over. Exactly.
It's almost like it's almost over.
Well, here's the thing, guys, fellow Boilermakers. There's a couple things that are encouraging. In all seriousness, one thing that's very encouraging for me is Jeff Brohm sounded like Jeff Brohm at the press conference today. That was a very, very good thing to hear and see. He was joking around. It could be he's just more comfortable with the pressure that is now on him because it was kind of thrown at him a week ago in the presser. I mean, it was 24 hours old. Or B, maybe he's come to peace that he's supposed to be at Purdue right now. That's what I'm really hoping. The negative part of me is winning out right now, and I have a hard time believing he'll be Purdue's coach a week from today.
So you're still at the point where if you had to guess, you'd say he gone.
Yeah, he gone. Yeah. I mean, think about that. That's probably why another reason why we lament this bucket coming, because we know that the bucket means that Sunday is right afterwards, and that's the day that I think we all figure Brohm or Louisville or somebody will have some sort of closure. So tough thing to get our heads around. But
is there something other than I'm not going anywhere? Is there something that you could hear in those days following it that would make you more comfortable? I mean, is there a date that has to come and go for you to be more comfortable? Because I think the first day or two after the bucket game is important.
I'll tell you the date.
Okay.
December 14th.
Okay.
Early signing day is extremely important for this program because you got so many guys that have been lined up for a while. And so if they can get those guys signed, obviously that's a big deal because he won't completely clear out the cupboard when he leaves. My biggest fear is really not him leaving. My biggest fear is him leaving
and
taking number four and taking the recruiting class with him and taking everybody, because that's what he did when he came to Purdue. So that's the nightmares. That is the, well, that's that. And I talked to, and I'm not going to name his name. I talked to two former players from the golden era of Purdue football, the recent golden era, not the 60s. From the early aughts, late 90s. And both of them sounded like they're as clueless as you and I are of what's coming. And they both said it will anger them to the middle if Rondell Moore transfers with Jeff Brohm. And they said the other stuff they can get over. And I think the Purdue fan base has a similar sentiment. Rondell Moore is a generational talent. Rondell Moore, even if it, let's pretend for a second Brohm stays, you're not going to see another guy like Moore. You're going to see great players. You're going to see guys that are great in his system because he'll build this program the right way if he gets to stay. But
Moore could legitimately be a Heisman, is a Heisman contender. I mean,
he's a Heisman contender right now. That's the thing. Right. He's just out. He's had one bad game this season, and his other games are just eye popping, and everybody knows who he is. He's electric. And I one thing I thought was really cool. There was a picture taken by one of the photographers that Purdue hires out. I don't think he's a full staffer. It wasn't Jitski or one of those guys. I think it was Weidel, the guy that we're buddies with. He took an iconic shot of Moore coming into Ross-Ade with the lights coming in. It was just the number four with Moore, and it was low angle. It was beautiful. Did you see that shot?
I did not.
It was beautiful. I thought, There are a couple things. I don't know if my brother's listening. I don't want to ruin something, but I ordered a mounted photo of Moore beating all those Ohio State players that White also took. I am extremely excited about his future and what he could do for Purdue football and what he could do just in the uniform. Like we've talked a lot about, a good football program means a lot to a university, means a lot to the bottom line, means a lot to who decides just to come to school there. Mm-hmm. That type of guy will have the nation's attention week in, week out if he stays for 3 years.
Yeah. And there's a few more things on Rondell Moore. I would say if you look at his game log, what's really interesting to me is it's everything you could want too. Like, it's not like there's nothing about him that's just hype. I mean, his best game, talk about a guy who rises to the moment. His best game of the season was Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Most receptions, most yards by a lot. He had 170 receiving yards against Ohio State when they knew who he was. This wasn't a mystery. This wasn't the first game of the year where
they threw their best at him. They bracketed him. They did everything they could.
And he did whatever he wanted, basically. Mm-hmm. He had 114 against Wisconsin. He had 137 against Missouri.
Northwestern game, though, that coming out party of, 300-something all-purpose yards.
Yeah. Well, he had almost 300 in the first half, and then he was very quiet in the second half. But
ridiculous.
He had 109 receiving and a touchdown. He had 79 rushing and a touchdown, and then he had a lot returning. One thing I'm surprised we haven't seen, and I definitely think we will early in either next year or the year after when they're playing, maybe somebody who's not so good, is him break a return. I haven't seen a kick return, which is weird because he seems like the kind of guy, a big play guy,
Well, so, I predicted he would break one in week two or three. I said he's going to do it this season just based on what you and I have all and we've seen. And I thought it was going to happen like that week, because I think if I remember back,
it's probably like EMU or something. And you thought
it was somebody that had a really weak special team. So I said he's going to exploit this. And
I think it's just bad luck. I mean, I don't think it's anything other than that. I mean,
no, it's a lot harder than it used to be to return the kickoff. Yeah.
He fair catches everything because he's about to get. The kickers are good. They're better. Punters are good. They know how to hang the ball up there. He hasn't had many chances that are.
Yeah, Wisconsin's kicker was amazing, by the way. I mean, it's a weird thing to talk about that because they had such good interior linemen.
Yeah.
He crushed the ball and it just exploded off his foot. But that Wisconsin game, we can talk about this a little bit briefly too. The physicality of Wisconsin was no joke. And the depth of Wisconsin was no joke. That's the biggest thing. That's old program mentality. That's a team that has a certain type of player that they recruit And I'm not just talking about white people. I'm talking about big players, big, strong players. Sorry.
You're talking about big
white. Cut you off crowd there. No, but they have very, very big, strong interior linemen on both sides of the ball. And I said this because I got into a couple discussions after the game on Twitter. And one of them was somebody.
People were hot on Twitter.
Yeah, people were hot. It was a bad night. A lot of people question the heart and fight of this team. Yeah. So there are a couple things on the ground. If you weren't at the game, that you may not have been able to see. Number one, Wisconsin was subbing 5 and 6 players regularly, starting in middle of the third quarter. And when they did it, you probably didn't notice on offense that they were doing it, because those guys come in as plug and play. And that's the difference between these two. That's one of the big differences between these two programs. Obviously, the thing that defines Wisconsin is their trench play. Those guys are big and strong and great. And we all talked about Taylor being great off the site today. And I joked, I really think I could rush for 150 yards behind that line. They were blowing holes up so big. And people are saying, why didn't Holt counter? He couldn't. You guys, I don't know what else to say. There's not much he could do other than saying, okay, I'm going to put 11 up. And guess what he did? When Purdue packed the box, that quarterback picked him apart. They had two good receivers still. You don't talk about very much because Wisconsin offense this year has not been very good. The best thing that could have happened for Wisconsin this year, much like Michigan State, is to not have their starting quarterback playing, because Hornibrook is a crappy passer. That kid's not. He could throw the ball. He was accurate. He managed the ball very well. He's more like Jim Sorgi than he is Hornibrook. Right. He's a classic Wisconsin quarterback. He's going to do exactly. And once again, I think I could throw 15-yard outs when you sag, right? That's Purdue caught with their pants down a couple times. The other thing that I will say, there's one thing that frustrates the hell out of me about this Purdue defense, some tendencies, and I know why they're doing it. We can get into the football reasons, but the tight end is eligible, guys. And every good team has exploited that against Purdue, where the tight end seems to be perpetually open. So, teams don't even target it enough. It feels like they could do it all day long to me.
So, you know, there's two things I'd say on there. One, the people who are coming down on Holt and the defense and the effort.
Come on now.
Let's remember that they had gotten past the 7-minute mark to go, and Wisconsin had 13 points. So don't tell me that
that's exactly like the Michigan State scenario, and people got pissed off about the defense that day. This defense, if you don't understand that they are doing everything possible to hold a wall, right? Just say, okay, don't let the dam break, right? Mm-hmm. So that's, and then guess what? Somebody gets nicked here and there, or they just get tired. And guess what? The drop off to that next group. Sizable. They have not had time to develop. I mean, that loss is on Daryl Hazel.
There's a lot of guys on this team that are Hazel guys. That's not, I mean, I know you're being funny, but that's.
Well, I'm not being funny. I'm dead damn serious that loss is on Daryl Hazel, because.
Add it to his ledger.
Yeah, put it on with the others. The giant heap in the backyard we're gonna burn smells like dog shit.
They're like corpses, like zombie corpses.
Exactly.
But
I'm not disparaging the players themselves. No. I'm disparaging the development and the recruiting, the way he ran the program. Look at that senior class. That's the funny thing. They're announcing them, they talked about there are quite a few walk-ons on that senior class.
Yeah.
Because they had to be. They had to fill in gaps. Right. I mean, one of the best players on the team is an ex-walk-on.
Thienemann.
Thienemann's quite good, right? And he's a brilliant football mind, clearly. But
I made that point to a number of people. Think about that epitomizes the state of Purdue football, particularly under the last couple of regimes where he's been hurt lately, and you're finding yourself saying, oh, crap, our former walk-on is hurt. We're in trouble.
And guess what? His walk-on little brother has got his back. And that's funny, too, right?
Right. It's amazing.
I mean, I don't think
– So how could you question the heart? How could you question the heart?
You can't. And so here's the part B of that, okay? So the part B, and I told you about this off the air, but we walked out of the stadium and we headed towards the training complex right by the Boilermaker statue. And we noticed players were trickling through that lawn, you know, that kind of wrapping around the IAC. I don't know if it's the Drew and Brittany Breeze building now. But players are coming around the corner. One of the first people I see is Kirk Barron. Kirk Barron had a couple holds in the game. He didn't play his best game, but he busted his ass.
Yes.
That guy, he looked beat up. And so did everyone that came through, except for the guys that didn't play. And so I started, as I started right away, just clapping for these guys. And then the fans, it was pretty neat. There was a group of, I'd say, under 100 fans that just started clapping for them and giving them things to keep their heads up about. Say, you win the bucket, you win the bowl. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. It's not over, you know, that sort of thing. And it was actually a great moment. And then my brother loved it because one of the players comes around the corner, and he was an interior defensive lineman. Darn it. I can't remember who it was. He looked bedraggled. He looked like he had had a tough day. And his mom kind of pops out of nowhere. And then he gives his mom this big hug. And you know, just to question these guys' heart and to question their fight, they care.
They care very much.
They care.
They've bought into everything. They've bought into Brahm's system. You know, the fans I saw online that were mad at Holt or mad at Brahm, I don't know if some of them were trying to, if they're trying to make the breakup hurt less, like you do when your girlfriend's mad at you and you're like, well, I don't like you anyway.
Never liked you.
There was a lot of that going on that I was like, and you know what else? It makes me think of the people who are acting like they're just, I mean, there were some crass remarks about Brahm and about Holt and the players. And I was like, you know what? Purdue wants to be more big time and the fans want to be more big time and they're filling the stadium and they've got the right coach and they're getting the right players. And you know what comes with that? That sort of fan. Like, you sound like an SEC moron hanger on when you
Subway alums that have no
right. When you talk about how they're dipshits and they're, you know, like, or the people saying stuff at us, like we were just talking about, saying that, you know, the lack of heart, the lack of hustle, the lack of effort. Like, what game are you watching that makes you think, because they lost? Because they lost to a team far bigger than them that's had years and years of, as you said, recruiting giant.
Their system. They have a great system. And they have, do not discount this, they have the best running back in the nation.
That guy ran for 321. He's a sophomore. He's going to have he's going to have 2,000 yards this year. He had 1,900.
Yeah, his stats are so stupid.
It's crazy, insane. And they held him down for a while, and they got tired. And you would, too, if that guy was running.
I was tired watching it. So I mean, my voice is still shot because of that. That and the 38 degrees and drizzle. The funny thing is, it didn't look very wet if you were just watching the game on TV, But it just started, like, I noticed my coat just started getting saturated. My hat got saturated. And so then, you know, like, as you're watching the game slip away, you're getting colder and colder.
Yeah, like, this is my energy seeping out of my head, my body.
All of my adrenaline was going away. And
so there is one point in the game that I do. So there's two points that I would like to respectfully question.
Oh, there's a couple pivotal points.
So I'll give you two, and I want to see if these two line up with what you think. One, and it's... we've brought up win probability before. And if I go to the ESPN win probability calculator, with 12 minutes to go in the fourth, Purdue was down on the Wisconsin one. You may recall this. They're up 24.
They're on about the 4-inch line, weren't they?
Yeah. And they ran Markell Jones three straight times, and he got stuffed all three times running that line. At that point, Purdue had a 96% win probability, up 24-13 on the Wisconsin one. They didn't get in. That if they had, which I thought they would at like first and goal from the two or whatever, I thought that
they roll Blau on that one, or no, am I wrong? No, they sent Horvath. So I don't think they ran Jones every time.
I thought they ran him three straight times.
See, I think they ran Horvath one of those, because what they did, is Rondale Moore was flanked to the left, Horvath was on the right, and they sent Moore, sprinted him out to the left to draw the linebacker. Then they sent Horvath underneath, and he was stonewalled. He actually lost a yard or two, and they went from being a David Blau lean over the top to now you got to struggle to try to get in against this line. And that's where my question was, that third down play call. I wish they would have snuck Blau, you know. And maybe this is somebody said this too. You feel a lot better about a 6'4", 240-pound quarterback than you do a 6-foot even quarterback at that point, right? I mean, this is where Sindelar would have been. He would have been able to get, probably break the plane at least, because he's a bigger, stronger guy. But
So I looked it up here. They were first and 10 at the Wisconsin 28. Mm-hmm. Rondale Moore got a first down. Then first and goal at the Wisconsin 10. Markell Jones ran 9 yards to the one.
Okay.
Second and goal at the one, Markell Jones, no gain. Third and goal from the one, Markell Jones run for a loss of a yard, and then they kicked the field goal.
So it was Jones. You were right.
My issue there is that because it's senior day? Why is Markell Jones running? I love Markell.
Well, he was very effective. If you look, he was notably more effective than Knox. I don't even know why. And because I said it right in the beginning, the first quarter, they had him in playing, which is pretty unusual because typically that's Knox time, you know, first quarter. And then they bring in Jones for a spell. And then they'll bring Jones back in the third or fourth quarter. But right away, I said to the guy next to me, it was funny. I sat next to a guy who was in Minneapolis for the loss. And he was telling me about his day. He said he had to have a beverage to warm himself up. Nice. Very frustrating day, he said. But they didn't use Jones until the fourth quarter, and he was pretty effective. Knox was not effective versus Wisconsin. So I was happy to see that Jones was getting a look. It was senior day, but it's also Knox's senior day.
True.
That was a key one here. So there. Here's how about the other one. There's, of course, the fumble into the end zone was huge.
But that's not a play call.
That's not a play call. It's just a pivotal play. So I'm talking about pivotal plays. There's a parallel. The other one was the pass interference, which is a phantom pass interference. The incomplete overturned pass.
Phantom pass interference that negates a interception.
That was the ball game right there. That was the ball game because if you just get the ball back and just sit, because now you're on the other side of the field. I think they were at like the 37. Yes. It would have been just too difficult for Wisconsin to overcome the time of the deal. That's what it seemed like. Because even when they were coming to try to get that 14-point lead gone, 7 minutes left, down by 14, they were still plotting. They were just boom, boom, just marching methodically. They didn't panic. They just went right at Purdue.
The other one, though, that I was going to say with regard to play calling is the – and this I'm not one of the people who acts like this was a dumb thing and it was so obvious because, you know, you got to have some nuts to do this. But a lot of people are feeling as though he should have gone for two in the second overtime, which was the one play strike for the touchdown. And at that point, I will agree, it was clear that Purdue couldn't stop Taylor. That was obvious. And so you knew you were going to have to score touchdowns every time, and that's only going to last so long. I think if that game was on the road, he probably goes for two there. I don't know why that makes a difference, but it seems to with coaches. I think because they were at home.
Well, here there's a couple things. If you look at your tea leaves, okay, this is my buddy Adam Gallima, who's a good Twitter follower too. You guys may have seen him comment on a couple things recently. But Adam, he's a glasses half full guy when it comes to Purdue football and basketball, no doubt about it. But he thinks that play call is a point to Brom Staying because he thinks if you have it in you that you think you're gone, you don't care about the backlash of that play, right? You just think, screw it, roll the dice, let's go, right? That's an interesting take. I don't know if I can read that far into it. My whole take of that and my buddy who I was sitting next to at the game, he says they got to go for two now because they have not been able to stop that left side trap at all. And Wisconsin's going to do it again, and Taylor's going to do it again and again and again. Got to win now. This is the only advantage you have in the game is this play. And so his whole point, I think, was now it's time for Jeff Brohm to dig into the bag of tricks and do something, and let's roll the dice on this. This is what defines Purdue right now. You say, okay, we got the ball. We have a chance to win. And I think that's a very fair take. There's an interesting thing. I think I saw one trick play. It was that weird swinging gate formation where Barron side snapped it. And I think they gained like 4 yards on the play. It's very odd, but it was cool. A well-designed play because I think it's one of those things. If they are not a well-disciplined team, you may score because they'll panic. They'll at least use a timeout. Wisconsin was very, very good at staying glued. When Rondale Moore would be sent in motion, they went man coverage and they kind of dared him to beat them. And when they tackled, unlike Ohio State, when they tackled Moore, they did not go pad high. They tried to go low, except for that one where he darted through three players where they were kind of back on their heels. But when they were in they were in a place to make a play. Mm-hmm. They were not undisciplined as Ohio State was. You know, Ohio State obviously has all the horses in the world, but they just didn't look very good on defense versus Moore. You don't go high on a guy who's that strong.
Right. And one thing we talking about Moore's spin earlier, one of the things I mentioned, I wanted to make sure that we mentioned, because I actually looked up the gentleman, the safety, who's only a sophomore for Wisconsin, Eric Burrell. Mm-hmm. I hope that he probably went to the chiropractor the next day. Because,
well, it looked like he had to go to Humpty Dumpty's men to reattach himself because he was twisted. I think the only thing that was keeping him attached was his white uniform, because
it looked like
it was crazy. Like his arms and legs went different directions. It was like
a
skier
that hit a mogul that they didn't know was coming. Just the way he kind of snapped into, like, he almost looked like he broke in half. Like,
yeah.
There's no way he expected Moore to move like that.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Man, that was so much fun to watch. Just the way that was because those are moves that just you don't see. Everyone out there has athleticism, right? If you're playing Division I football,
sure.
The skill guys have athleticism. And to be able to do that to probably not a bad football player in a Wisconsin safety.
Oh, no.
You know, it's, man, and he just kind of looks back like, well, it's never good when your safety is faked out of his pants. Like, that's never good.
You know, a guy like that.
A bad feeling.
Yeah, it's got to be bad. The next day, he may have felt kind of bad. He may have gotten a little chicken soup. It was cool up in Wisconsin. Yep. And you know what else he probably did? He probably wanted to get cozy, put on his favorite T-shirt, maybe watch some.
Always makes you feel better.
Yeah, yeah, a soft, cozy T-shirt. You know what I mean?
Do you have any of that? You feel that way about?
I do, actually. You know, being under the weather this week, I it's been a rotation of Martin Vintage stuff for me. And I mean, for me, my favorite is the Hammer Down shirt. I love it. It's the soft 50-50 shirt. Man, the graphics are good on that one. Here's the thing, guys. If you haven't bought from Martin Vintage yet, and you're listening here, it's if not for you, we're near the season of giving. So buy one for your father, and then he can talk trash about you and make you feel bad for not pulling the trigger, because that's what's going to happen. He's going to look so darn good. The weird thing is your wife is going to hit on your dad. So maybe that's the wrong thing to tell people, but it's going to happen. He's going to look great.
Go to martinvintage.com, enter boiled at checkout, get 20% off your order. 20%. This is one of those like 5% crappy, you know,
it's like a real discount.
It's a real discount. And the holidays are coming. I mean, you got no excuse not to do this. Go buy it.
Yeah, right on.
So, IU coming up. We should talk a few minutes about that. And then we do have some Twitter. Stuff to talk about. Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm
concerned. How do you feel? How do you feel about the opponent?
You know, the opponent, it's interesting. They seem to, they're doing something that would definitely drive me nuts. And I've seen it driving IU football fans nuts, they're close constantly, right? They have a good showing against good teams frequently. Mm-hmm. And they can't, now they got over the hump. They beat Maryland, right? They beat Minnesota. They had those are their two Big Ten wins, I think.
I thought they lost to Minnesota.
They did lose to Minnesota. You're right. I'm sorry. They beat Rutgers. That's the other win they have.
Yeah.
By like a touchdown. Rutgers came back on them. So.
And they played Michigan well for a half.
Yep. They were winning at the half. And man, was Tom Allen excited. Whew. He celebrated like he'd won the Super Bowl. And he gets really mad if his players don't hold up four fingers at the start of the fourth quarter, which, man, that is a stupid, stupid thing to do. Because it is, there's meaningless gestures, like, and there's meaningless things like row the boat, and then there's stuff like that where it's like, man, what are you in high school? Like,
it's nice for the guys to say, okay, now's crunch time, get it, your mind right, but it is a completely meaningless thing. It doesn't have any root at IU. I mean, nothing has roots at IU, though. I mean, let's be honest, everything that they
do. What happened to the Rock? Wasn't that a big thing?
Still there. I mean, remember, it almost fell into a hole in the sinkhole a couple years ago, but it didn't.
Just like the IU football program,
right.
So I'm a little concerned. They're not
plenty of reason for concern.
They're not a patsy. They're going to be very motivated. Yeah. I mean, they're going to be motivated. They're at home. They need a win for a bowl. That does not happen often at IU. Tom Allen will have them in a lather, and they've been hearing. And this is what I'd be saying if I were an IU fan or coach or whatever. They've been hearing about nothing but Jeff Brohm and Rondell Moore.
Right,
and
right.
The Purdue offense. And you know what they can go in there and they can say, rightfully, we got the same record. We're 5 right. and 6.
That's
and
the thing that's so weird. The path that they both got here is not good.
No.
You lose three in a row, you'll win four in a row, you get another one, and then you lose three in a row. That's right, Purdue. I think that's where Purdue is. IU, you win four in a row, and you right? I mean, right. Neither path is good. Neither team, I mean, I think Purdue has had many more inspiring moments because IU's big wins, Virginia, right?
Yes, they beat Virginia. They beat Ball State.
Right.
They beat FIU.
Yeah.
They beat Rutgers, and they beat Maryland.
Purdue should bloody their mouth when we're saying
Maryland is the only win they've had since that Rutgers win, which was when was this game? A long time. It was like their fifth game of the season. So
the really good news about the game, I hear the forecast actually quite good. 50 degrees.
Is it?
Yes.
That's great for Purdue's offense.
It's really great. I think both these teams obviously need good weather, but Purdue clearly this year is oddly affected by the weather. Like they, you know, turn into a like pumpkin.
Florida. Yeah. They yeah. don't.
Like
they
you don't. Said, I think you said that it's like every week yeah. when it's in the cold, it's like they're, you know, a team traveling up from Tallahassee or something.
Yeah. It was really weird. It's a noon Saturday game. And this is a good little, let me just make my point about rivalry games and I'll see what you think about this. You remember when the Big Ten always played their rivalry games last weekend? And then they'd be idle Thanksgiving weekend. And enough people were like, well, this stupid, everybody else playing their rivalry games. So now the Big Ten plays the rivalry games Thanksgiving weekend. Yep. And as a married parent with in-laws, I want to say I would like to go back to the old way. Because the weekend before Thanksgiving is usually a quiet weekend in most homes. And you can watch college football. Holiday weekends, while everyone says, oh, you should sit around and watch football. Yeah, but it's not the same as you don't get your time to yourself. You don't get to watch the way you like to watch. You have to share the room with your idiot in-laws who maybe don't even like football or Purdue or know anything about them.
I don't have any idiot in-laws. My in-laws are delightful.
They're wonderful. And they don't listen. Come on. No, but I there's too much obligation going on. And even if you're done with your obligations by Saturday, which
yeah.
good for you if you are, your wife's probably making you drag the Christmas stuff out of the attic.
Now that one is legit. And so I've got pressure right now happening because my buddy said, let's go to Bloomington. The weather's going to be good. And I got, I got big pushback because I've already gone to one road game. I've gone to every home game. So, yeah, this is where being a 43-year-old man, the reality of it is just.
So. Well, that's where you say, look, my son wants to go.
Well, maybe I've got a way. Maybe Friday I can get a lot done. We'll see how this.
But yeah, it's a late decision. I don't like it anymore because it's been harder since that happened for me to watch Purdue IU. Every year there's a challenge with watching Purdue and IU, and it bugs the crap out of me because that game.
Well, Purdue played on Friday versus IU. I thought that was once. Fun. Did it once. Yeah.
I remember that. That was fun. That was like, I want to say we were still in school, no?
They may have been.
Or maybe right after we got out. Yeah, I remember it was. Yeah, that was cool. I mean,
because it was national stage, and that at that point, if I remember correctly, Purdue didn't get a whole bunch of national stage.
No, I don't think so. Well, the other thing that would be great too is Purdue and IU both have lights now, and they never play a night game. And I know that would change if they were both a little better. If Purdue were having the kind of year we thought they might have,
yeah.
Noon is kind of a drag. Man, do I love this weekend because. You know, all the pregame shows, they show, you know, they'll show the teams because these teams, particularly like Ohio State, Michigan, Florida State, those teams that just really, it's like genuine in-state or actually not Ohio State, Michigan, but regional dislike, they start jawing in pregame, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's legitimate. I think it's real. That's not an act in most of these instances. And I don't think Purdue and IU have enough of that, and that's because neither program they haven't been good at the same time almost ever because IU is so rarely good. If they came into this game with 7 or 8 wins each, I think you would see more of that. Just the way look at the way Purdue went at Ohio State,
stakes are higher. Yep,
look at the way they went after them and got in their face. So, I love this stuff. I love it. Even programs I don't like when they get at each other, it's so fun. It's so fun to see the fans sad on the side that loses. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So I mean, you don't have to answer this now, but are you feeling, how are you feeling about them?
I'm not feeling real good about it because I don't think Purdue, I mean, Purdue's won one of the last four. And you know, the momentum is not there. If you believe in momentum, it's not at home, which I know they've lost some games at home, but Ross State has been, I think in general, an advantage. They've played some exciting games at Ross State. Yeah, they've lost three or four. And if not for that field goal at the end against Iowa, whew, this season would be ending in disappointment. They'd be out of it already. They'd be 4-7 right now. Right. So
here's something to think about real quick, and I'm going to go back to this, and we can go to Twitter. But this is a good point. My brother had this point. He said, you want an indicator of Brohm's progress. How about this one? Purdue has not beaten Wisconsin in 15 years. We know that. Purdue has not, and that's 12 straight or 13 straight games. But before Brohm came, they were losing by an average of like 47 points.
Mm-hmm.
They're just getting killed year after year. Brohm comes, they lose by 8. This year, they lose in triple overtime by 4, 3.
Yeah.
If that, I think that is a pretty fair barometer because that is such a difficult program to beat because of the matchups, right? So Purdue has always been a finesse program, right? A program that is predicated on passing the ball. And that's true with Brohm's team. They're predicated on passing the ball. Their successes. But that defense that all those Purdue fans were getting after has obviously gotten better. And even let's all be real honest. Even when Wisconsin wasn't great, they've always been able to run the ball. That's a lot like this game. And what they would do against Purdue in the past is they wouldn't wait till the fourth quarter or overtime to start bludgeoning Purdue. They would start right away and just, and a guy would have 200, another back would have 250 yards, and they'd be up 17-0 or 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. Things are getting better, even without the personnel.
It is progress, and that's just it. If you felt confident that you had Brohm for 4 or 5 or 6 years, whatever the contract length is, if you were confident in that, or let's just say 4, because I think everybody always feels like
that. I think that's the time you've given. I think that's fair.
Right. If you knew right now you had him for 4 years, this year you'd be, and we talked about this at the start of the season even, that's fine. You contend for another bowl, make clear advances like you're describing where, sure, you're beating ranked teams. You haven't done that in forever. They're beating ranked teams, and you're close on some of the ones you've been miles away, oceans away from
before. Right.
That, you look at it through that prism, it is absolutely continuing to move the program forward. But if you want to just turn it around and be the pessimist, you would say, well, Brohm is 12-12 at Purdue. If he loses to IU and leaves, he will leave at 12-13 at Purdue. So maybe we're giving away a little bit of our perspective of what will happen if things are very bleak next Monday. But damn, man, like you did not change the culture if you leave at 12-13. And the thing I said to you, that I was kind of, when I did not put this out there, but I will say it here. The people who are, if you're upset about the loss of Wisconsin, I understand it. And the thing I would also say is when you're up 2 touchdowns with 7 minutes to go, if you think you're a new football program, if you think you're different, this is not the same old Purdue, then you win that game. And I'm not trying to, I'm talking more at the high level, right? I get there are reasons. We just enumerated those reasons a little while ago. Purdue wore down against a bigger, more physical, more deep team. And that happens. And I understand that happened. And I don't hold it against the players by any stretch. We were very clear about that, I hope. But, you know, whether it's making sure you score to go up 31-13 when you're on the one, maybe it's going for two in overtime. I don't know what it is, but, and I'm not saying they had to win this game. I'm not saying this is a failure, but you did not achieve one of the big things that
if you really look at it, it feels almost exact. The Iowa, Ohio State, and Wisconsin games are all very similar at about that 7-minute mark in the fourth quarter, right? They're all very similar.
Right.
Purdue is leading, right? So in one of them, Purdue salts it away and they just keep pounding. They become the aggressor, right? That was a magical day. The more I think about it, the more I think God smiled on that program that day. It's not just that they won, it's how they won.
Tyler
just kept pouring. Absolutely. Yeah. Some, the righteous man, his prayers are more powerful and effective than mine. and Tyler's prayers were powerful and effective that day. And I'm not talking about voodoo anything. I'm talking about that was a special day, special mm-hmm. for Tyler, special for his family, special in the big picture. The Iowa game, they got worn down, right? And mm-hmm. it looked like they were going to give that one away. And they hit a field goal to squeak by. And this game, I mean, the Michigan State they didn't have the lead, but it's very similar in that you're right there at the end. It just shows that this team's close, but they're tired and they're not deep. And you can say whatever you want about. There's a guy that I'm pretty sure when he's not yelling at us on Twitter, he's yelling at a cloud in the sky for being above him. You probably know the guy I'm talking about. I will not mention his name. But he is said the organization's off and let him go. That's what
that guy.
It's bizarre. And there's another thing. Jay and I have talked about this for years. One of the weird things that we have happened on Twitter. Obviously when people are angry, things happen. There's been some angrier the last few days, but we had a guy who kept addressing Coach Painter at us.
Yes.
I don't ever understand that. Do you read those? I'm like, what? Why? Why? What? Yeah. Well, do we have a hotline to him that we can help you get that message? I don't get it. Maybe he's just venting, whatever it is. I mean, I don't think we responded at all. Not because, you know, disparaging the guy. We're just like, what the heck are we supposed to do with this? It's a dead end, you know? But all you guys out there, our Twitter pals, we do not have a hotline to Coach Brohm.
We don't.
Or Coach Painter. Although we do have some cell phones in the athletic department, we could call some of those guys. Maybe that would help a little bit.
Calling some favors, you think?
Yeah, calling some favors. Yeah, exactly. Call.
Maybe send in. Hey, so if you have plays, if you think like things you'd like,
send them to us on Twitter, and we'll get them to them.
We'll get them over. Yeah. In fact, mid game, he's always looking for adjustments.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
I could text him on the sideline.
Yeah. Excellent.
So do you want to I know the answer to this question. Do you want to talk to our friends on Twitter? You love Twitter.
I love it. I love this segment because you filter. I hate Twitter. and the funny thing is when things are good, I love the idea of rallying around a couple of friends. And there are some people that, you know, like Handel Jones, right? That's a guy that our buddy M, you know, there are some people on there that I think we are friends with these people because of Twitter, and it's fantastic, right?
Mike, PU Falls City.
Oh my gosh. Fantastic. Right. And we could do this. There are a lot of people in it. We didn't mention, you know, it's not because we don't like it, but there are a lot of people that are really, really awful on Twitter. And some of them go into weird places when they get frustrated. Start making very, very weird comments. I'd love to give them credit for being drunk, but I don't think I can. I just think they're angry people. So
yeah. Whatever. Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of angry people out there. And I think it's crazy to me that people think that's okay to behave the way they do sometimes.
Yep.
But
yep. Yep. Big shoulders, Jay. Big shoulders.
So let's take a look here at some of the questions we've got. So Steve M. Maniac.
He's a recent friend, right? I'd say in the last Steve's year we become buddies with Steve. Yep.
Yeah. He says, and we've kind of started talking about this, so we don't have to spend too much time on it, but he says, how great is it if Brohm stays? Very great. Not just for the coaching impact, but for the psychology of him turning down Louisville.
Yes.
You see that as a big positive pub for Purdue.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And he says, flip side, how boned is Purdue if he does leave, recruited, i.e. It's a big one right now. And I think, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, Rondell Moore. I think if he were to leave, and let's say Babinski makes a great hire, let's say he just nails it. He knows what he has to do and he nailed it. That it would have to be the kind of hire that would say, my first call is to Rondell Moore and these other recruits to say, look, I'm here now. I know I'm not the guy who recruited you, but I'm, you know, Dino Babers or Matt Campbell and I'm just throwing the, you know, it's gotta be a name like that.
It would have to be a name like that.
It would have to be something like
Mike
that.
Mike Leach. I know he's nuts. Major Applewhite. I love him.
There's a lot, and we'll talk obviously a lot more about this if it becomes a reality. But yeah,
I know, and this is how, you know, Anish said I may or may not have an emergency coach in the list that I've had since he was hired.
Maybe
I not. Didn't have that, honestly. I had not had that until 5 days ago. I think I sent you my top 10, and I did some research because I have so much nervous energy right now. That would be a huge victory for the Purdue program for Jeff Brohm to stay at this run, because it would say this program has come out of the ashes, is not a doormat anymore, and to get rid of the alma mater idea, at least for a little while, for Brohm. I think that would make me feel a lot more secure. I asked the question to you, Jay, if they, this scenario, that he doesn't go to Louisville this year and next year Oklahoma opens up, would you feel safe or secure?
I would not feel safe, especially if he, what's kind of season? So
let's say here, I'll give you a full scenario.
What's he done at Purdue that year?
8 wins and they're going to a very good bowl.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I mean, that's the thing. So you'd have 7 wins, 6 or 7 wins, 8 wins, and then Oklahoma calls. I don't feel secure at all. That's the thing. This is something what somebody, a good friend of mine said, I can't deal with this every year. I can't deal with it every year.
I agree.
I get that.
I agree, but the Louisville threat.
But I can deal with it. Give me one more year.
Yeah, and the Louisville threat was the biggest worry, and it happened in the worst way, where they fell apart at the worst time. Petrino gets fired, even though we were all like, they can't fire him with that buyout. And they did.
Louisville was classless in the process.
Oh, they're terrible.
He handled it horrible. I didn't like Louisville to begin with. And if this, I know Coach Brohm's listening tonight, and this may hurt his heart a little bit to hear this, but I disdain Louisville and I disdain the culture down there, and that culture's crap. And they've shown it with the other coaches that have come through recently. They are garbage. I don't care who the AD is there. The shit still exists because the fan base still exists and the alums still exist. And I have a friend that's a Louisville grad and he's a good guy. And all I can say is I'm sad for him because he's around these people all the time. It's a garbage culture, and they've shown it's a garbage culture to us on Twitter. They've shown their rear end a lot the last 5-7 days, right? I mean, just the things they say, condescending.
Even the media guys.
Exactly. That's the thing. I mean, these are the representatives of the crap. So, yeah. So that's the first real honest statement I've had about Louisville, and I've had enough about pussyfooting around it. You know, if he wants to go, that's on him, and that's a dumb decision because that place sucks. How about that?
Put that. Rack 'em.
Rack 'em. Me. Rack 'em me.
Let's see here.
I apologize to my son and his friends who listen.
Steve has another question.
This show's been rough.
I'm going to give Steve another one here, but then we'll go to some fun ones that are just some quick, good would you rathers. Steve says, what other schools in the Big Ten, if any, make changes at head coach this year? Put another way, what football results would it take during rivalry week for changes at the other schools? That's a good question.
Who's Illinois play? Northwestern?
Northwestern.
Yeah, so if Illinois gets beaten by 50 again. Is Lovey gone? I mean, he has to be. He has to be close.
Well, this is only year 3.
Man, they're bad.
Did you see what happened on senior day? I genuinely felt bad.
Historically bad game.
63-0 on senior day.
I think it's the worst deficit ever for Illinois football team on senior day. That's really bad. That's really bad.
That's just, how do you have your team? I mean, I know, but I was not that good. Like, that's ridiculous.
Obviously, they're not that good.
Is that a team that quit? I mean, I didn't watch it, but how can you lose 63-0?
I don't know. I don't know.
So Lovey, yeah, I'd say Lovey.
Maryland is obviously changing.
They have who is it? Kendall. No, not Kendall. Jason Kendall? No.
No. He's at Toledo.
Jason Kendall's still at Toledo, right?
Yeah. No move yet. He'll be in the Big Ten next year.
Oh, Canada is their interim. He's actually good. I think he's have a shot.
He's a good coach. And maybe he's been good for the culture there too. Maybe
but Maryland believes that they're so big time that they'll go after someone. So that will also change. And I would say, man, if this game was a year from now, mm-hmm. Minnesota, I'm assuming Minnesota and Wisconsin play. Isn't that the rivalry game?
Is that the Paul Bunyan next?
Yeah. I would say that would be one of those coaches could be, if we're a year from now and they're still like, you know, PJ still not getting any traction, and Chris is having another 4-5 loss season. I think that game could have an impact. Let's say PJ went in there and whipped them. I think that could have.
That could have. Yeah, that could have.
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen this year. I don't think he's going to beat him, but
yeah, I think neither of those programs will change this offseason. I always am hopeful for James Franklin to leave, just because I don't looking at him.
Dude is part of it.
Exactly. But no, so I think you see the possibility of Illinois and Purdue right now, right?
And Purdue. Yeah, man, if he doesn't get to a bowl, they should fire him. Sorry, he's got his chance. And Miles Hanley says, would you rather have the Boudreaux hairstyle or always wear the KD double cap?
That one's fresh. So did you hear the explanation of why he had the double cap? Did you see that thread?
He had one on and someone gave him one.
Someone gave him another hat. And so what do? You don't carry it.
Yeah.
When you're his age, you're like, I'm too old to carry hats.
Yeah, I'll just wear two.
I've got a built-in hat carrier right here.
Exactly. Exactly. There's one place to put hats.
It's amazing. The thing is, it looks like it fits perfectly. Like, I would think you'd have to do some crazy adjustment to make that all work together. He found a way because he's Gene Cady. I would much rather have Matt Harms' hair. I would rather have Matt Harms' hair for a week. I think if I did, I'd be rich if I could have
Boudreaux Matt. Was the question.
Oh, Boudreaux. Okay, sorry.
Boudreaux's hair. Come on.
I'm dreaming.
Matt Harms' hair for a week. And then after the week, I drop.
So do I have to keep Boudreaux's hair? Is that what the question is?
Would you like Boudreaux's hair or have to wear Matt the double cap forever?
Oh, forever.
I think that's what the question was.
Gosh, that is a hard. That's a really hard question, actually. I'm going to go with the hat because Boudreaux's hair. Goodness gracious.
You could it's got to be disarming, though, right?
Because, I mean, I think you can play that the right way. I thought about, obviously, on the basketball court, he can say, you know, hey, look at me. I probably can't play. Look at me, you know. So when he goes to a party and he's meeting a young lady, he probably just says, look at me. I'm adorable. I'm not harmful.
No, he says, I play Division I basketball is what he says.
Yeah, he's
I went to Ivy League, by the way. I'm smart.
I'm brilliant. I'm brilliant. I play Division I basketball, and I have an awful head of hair. Who cares? It's like historically bad head of hair. It's incredible. And I respect him for embracing it. It is. It's wonderful.
Matt Trip Truman, who I think we've interacted with a bit, but not as much as some of these other guys, he gives a good would you rather. He says, would you rather have Jeff Brohm as football coach for the next 5 years? I'll just say yes. Or go to the Final Four in basketball once in the next 5 years?
Brohm.
Yeah, I think so too.
Brohm. I think we've really cemented our belief in football season. I mean, and nothing against Purdue's basketball team. We love those guys. We're hard on Coach Painter, but we do like him as Purdue's coach. I mean, there are some things we are really we wish he would change, but I'm glad he's Purdue's coach. Final Four would be fantastic, but man, Brohm's upside is amazing. And this football season, this mediocre football season, really, you know, this record is not great, and it's still been a ride. Still been fun.
Oh, it's still great. I got to get us to this one. Purdue Pete 09. He says, you are the Big Ten commissioner. They give you the right to sub out two schools. Who's out? Who's in? I was going to say one, but I didn't want all the answers to be Rucker.
So I sub out in the Northeast. I sub out Rucker for Pitt.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, a couple years ago, I really thought Northwestern should be kicked out of the conference for their ineptitude in basketball. All kidding aside, I was like, you guys got to do something about this. This is embarrassing to never go to a tournament coming out of one of the best basketball conferences in America. And on top of that, in football, they were, you know, they hadn't really gotten their feet under them. They're kind of inconsistent. The other one would probably be IU,
And let Notre Dame in, right?
Yeah, that'd be fun just to play Notre Dame every year, seriously. But then the arrogance would be incredible. Who's your other one after Rucker?
Because that's
Penn State.
Penn State's on the list. Yeah. I'd like them out just because
Penn State.
Pickable. I'd probably kick out Maryland and Penn State.
Because the New Jersey heartstrings, huh?
Oh yeah. You know what? Here's the other thing. Rutger is super appreciative of being in the Big Ten. They are so happy to be in the Big Ten still. Mm. And you, after a while, you're like, you're getting your teeth kicked in a lot. I mean, yeah. They probably would be no matter where they were because they're bad. But, man, it's tough to play.
Basketball's clearly turned a corner. We saw earlier tonight they had a team. They held a team to like 1 point and a half.
It was four. They had two baskets. It was 31-4 over Eastern Michigan in the half. That's ridiculous. And like, if you look at the play-by-play, it's like Eastern Michigan missed layup. Eastern Michigan missed jump shot. Eastern Michigan missed layup. Like, how that must have been amazing to watch. They had one jumper and one layup in a half. That's what they made. No free throws, no nothing. Like, and
yeah, I don't even think of Maryland as a Big Ten team still.
They are. How about
that? I know they are. But I just don't, like, in my mind, like, when I was going through my list, Rutger jumps out. Because, right. You know, the facilities there, that is not up to snuff, right? No, obviously, no. The history is not up to snuff.
Into their facilities.
Right, right. And they got a good basketball group. Yeah, lots of
money. And you know what's funny? You and I are old enough to think of Penn State as not really a Big Ten team. I mean, I remember them joining.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Keyjana Carter taking them to the Rose Bowl.
And I guess neither of us thought of Nebraska, because I think Nebraska fits pretty well.
Nebraska's fine. I in all seriousness, that's fine. They fit with the Big Ten West, meaning that, you know, the big farm, you know, kids, you know, that's a Big Ten thing right there. You know, I still have a hard time with you being a Big Ten guy. Honestly, I still struggle with that idea. So
slick fast talking
city boy. City boy, exactly.
No, yeah, that's a good question, though. I got a couple other good ones here. Oh, wait, we have to, as usual, give Mike Purdue PU Falls Cities his time. He has a whiskey suggestion of the week.
Excellent.
Early Times Bourbon, bottled in bond, it says. Made by Brown-Forman, 100 proof, $23, only comes in 1 liter bottles. Smooth, easy drinker at a great value.
Smooth, easy drinker at 100 proof is pretty tough to find.
For $23. Usually, if it's high alcohol and low price, doesn't usually equal good belly.
Yes. But so maybe I'll try that. I mean, every now and again, the last time I tried, it wasn't one of his suggestions. It was one of my, I had read a review and I foolishly went and bought a $24 bottle. It was ill-advised. It did not go well. So, I actually cooked with it. That's how bad it was.
I think he's supposed to use wine.
Yes, yes.
I'm dying.
Instead, I cooked everything in it. Every meal, from cereal.
Your kids were like, Dad.
Exactly, just falling over.
He actually gives us another question, which this is a great one. I did not know this. You may, because you're at every game. He says, Mike says, given they've taken Ross Aid off the press box, do you think they are shopping for a sponsor? And if so, what are your thoughts? And do you approve if it means stadium upgrades sooner rather than later? Hell yeah, sell the name. I mean, I am a traditionalist, so I don't generally love that idea. Like, yeah. Yankee Stadium, I like being Yankee Stadium, but only because I'm an old man. And like, anyone who has a major problem with that, the thing I like to remind them of, Wrigley Field.
Right.
Wrigley Gum. Okay. So,
it's an old idea.
Yeah. That's not a new thing. Now, right. When a stadium is named, you know, like, adult sex toys place.
That's stadium. A great place to play, though. The sightlines are all very good there.
And you leave feeling exhausted.
Just need a nap.
Exactly. Just no, but nap. I mean, some of the names do.
Double header. No chance.
What? Man.
Sorry.
How do I enter this place?
You always go in the wrong door.
God, sorry. Oh, sorry. Good gracious. I don't know so why sorry. I took it there.
You took it even further. Yeah, you made it happen.
If somebody was willing to pay like a few million dollars to put their name on, I mean, it'd actually take more than that, wouldn't it? Because Purdue gets much money from the Big Ten Network. If you were going to sell your naming rights, it would have to be pretty big, right?
I don't think they're planning. I mean, I'm not privy to any information. I just don't think they are. I think they're going to give the stadium a revamp. Sure, why not?
Brom Stadium?
I would love to see Mollenkopf Tiller Field at Ross Age. I've said that for for a while now. I would love to see that. And they could put that in like a field turf block on one of the sidelines so it doesn't get torn up. Mollenkopf Tiller Stadium. Tiller Field at Ross State Stadium. I think that'd be awesome. Both those guys deserve the tip of the cap. But they're going to release sketches soon about what they're going to do to the stadium. And my guess is they're going to have a revamp of the front of that press box at the same time.
What's funny is another thing about being old like we are, that still looked brand new to me.
Yeah, and it's like, what, 11, 12 years old now?
Oh, easily. Easily.
Yeah.
Probably more than that. But remember how it looked when we were there?
Oh, my gosh. Was it a joke? It was horrible. That corrugated white metal with Purdue on there and Arial font. So bad. And then like yellow pops. Like you just have gold. Not metallic gold, but like yellow. Goldenrod yellow, you know?
Yeah. So well, bad. That's what was available at the...
That's right. There were no paints that were metallic or
gold.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What excuse will Urban Meyer come up with? This is from Fred Ends 89 when he leaves Ohio State after this season. Did you see him really, really laying into his, like holding his head during the game against Maryland, leaning on the sidelines, like his head was going to explode or something? What do you mean? What is it going to happen? It's going to be another malady. It's going to be a brain aneurysm or something that's going to miraculously.
Well, they've hinted at that. That's their out for a while. And their Ohio State fans think that January is it. He's gone, which is really weird. But I've heard it multiple times from multiple people that this is it. And I don't know why they're saying that other than, I mean, whenever Ohio State gets rid of a coach, they've got a better option. So that makes me think that,
Nick Saban's coming up.
Somebody's coming up, you know. And I mean, they've got a short leash there. They think that there should be a national title talk every year, and it's them against the world, and nobody understands their plight. Whatever. Shut up, Ohio State. I think the reason he will leave in January will be dysentery. Because he's got to go south of the border. We've dealt with other things already, so I'm going to go with raging diarrhea repeated.
Oh, I got one more I'll ask here, and then we'll wrap things up. So Matt Hall, Artie King 10, says, not really a question, but maybe, what do you think about the Louisville AD and Dokic pissing Brahm off enough by making it a distraction to factor into his decision? And I don't think that's... if you're grasping, I don't think that's a crazy thing to grasp for.
I think it pissed him off a lot. That Thursday, last Thursday press, you know,
after the gaggle, the scrum,
that was a different Jeff Brahm. There was something that happened. That was a turning point. That was a tipping point. Cause before that he was disgruntled, quiet Jeff, not telling you anything. After that, he was laughing and saying, I got to put this stuff, this is garbage, you know, and it's not just Dokic. Without Tyra, it doesn't ever happen. I'll reiterate that. That guy may be a great human being. I don't know anything about him. I don't think he is, but he's a hack of an AD because you got to be better at the PR game being in that position. That was a garbage move. It was a disrespectful move to Purdue. So it's disrespectful. Move to the guy that they want to have as coach. That was you do not name his name. And there are many ways. People saying to me, what else can he say? There are tons of things you can say. You can say anything. You can say, we know who you guys want. We are very well aware of it. We're going to do everything we can to get the best candidate for this job. That's all you have to say. You don't have to say Jeff. You don't have to say Jeff. This is dumb. But anyway, if they get him, they won, right? That's the thing. They won with their crappy tactic. So I hope he's Purdue's coach next year. That's all there is to it.
How about next week? Hope he's Purdue's coach next week. Well, yeah, you said early signing period, like December 14th. I don't even think it's going to be that long. I'm going to feel really good if he's Purdue's coach by
next Tuesday.
Yeah. I mean, not Tuesday. That's a little quick. I mean, I give it a week. Week to 10 days, you get to around December 3rd, something like that. If he's still Purdue coach I'm not real worried.
People are going to be watching that stupid flight tracker thing.
And people need to stop doing that because last Thursday, the day that he was talking to the press, literally, and people
as the flight was in the air.
There's a flight going from Lafayette to Louisville. Maybe his family was going home to see fam. You know, they go back and forth a lot.
Yes, and they have access to jets. So
yeah. So stop. Just stop. Mm-hmm. People are like, can someone care to explain that?
I've got a very good source.
Well, somebody asked us. They're like, can you?
I am cousins to the neighbor of his wife,
who likes NetJets.
She says she is miserable and hates the word Lafayette.
Screw the French. Doesn't
like the French, exactly.
And so instead you'd like to go to
Louisville, which is the city of King Louis. All right. There's problems with your logic. That's what I'm saying, moron. Stop with your hot takes.
Louistown. Who wants to go to Louistown?
Exactly. Louistown.
That's what they're calling it, Louistown.
I like
it. Hill Jack, stay across the river. There's a river down there, right? It divides your state. And I sometimes get defensive for Indiana, but then I'm like, I'm not from Indiana.
Okay. And the other thing, I mean, if you're offended, you probably are a Hill Jack.
So we'd also like to quickly thank Asgard Press. They're a sponsor of ours who you can... I believe get a discount. We're still getting the detail worked out. We're going to get an ad up on the site. If we haven't, by the time you've heard this, we will very shortly.
I put it up on Twitter already.
Yeah, they are a great partner of ours. They have some really, really cool retro calendars, note cards, things that are, they're made up usually of retro Purdue programs. You'll have to take a look. It's Asgard Press. And we're going to be able to get you a discount on that as well. So another great holiday gift item.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you can figure this out, we like sponsor relationships of things we can believe in and get behind. So, like, no joke, Jay has a bunch of Asgard Press stuff framed in his house because he thought they were such cool pieces. My letterhead, whenever I write a note to somebody, and yes, I still write handwritten notes. I don't know why. But
like, electric company. Here is your check.
It's not. Yeah, most of the time it's not that. So I use those cards. They're awesome. They're great cards. And those are on sale. They're postcards and all that stuff is on sale. But we are also always looking for sponsor partners. We're looking at you, PU Fall Cities, if you got some bourbon hookup.
Yeah, I mean if we are looking for sponsors. We appreciate sponsors of things we really like and believe in, and we like and believe in bourbon very much, especially the bourbon you poured in our cups at that tailgate because it was delicious.
It was refreshing.
Oh gosh, that just kind of carried me up the hill. So, I think that's all for tonight. I think we have done plenty of damage, and we didn't talk at all about Purdue basketball. I kind of wanted us to, just because.
But we want to leave the people wanting more. We've got a very special week, guys.
Oh, absolutely,
very special week. You've got obviously Old School Handsome Hour first here. That I'm sure that was a treat for your ears, and then Old School Basketball Beat.
Do you know what no one answered? And I'm going to make you answer it.
Yeah.
One of my questions I threw out there to everybody was, especially in light of Brahm's story, which if you didn't see it, go on Twitter and find it, his story about his family Thanksgiving football game.
That's amazing.
One of the questions I threw out was, what Big Ten coach would you want to spend, leaving aside the guys you don't like, who do you think would throw the best Thanksgiving day? You know, and the immediate thing that comes to mind are guys like Chris again, fat guys. They know how to eat.
It's gonna be fried turkey. You know fried, that. Fried
cheese curds, which are delicious.
Yeah. I
a lot of milk at Harbaugh.
Fitzgerald is still my dude. And yeah. I would put the state of Illinois. I think I would love to have Thanksgiving with Lovie Smith.
Oh gosh. Because then Lovie probably pulls out.
Can you imagine the stories that guy has, like from the NFL and whatever? It just seems like.
And with that beard, he puts on the Santa hat and they bring out the tree.
And he's got a nice slow rhythm to his.
Lovie's the kind of guy you'd want to listen to a book on tape. You know?
Yes. Yes.
Like, that's soothing. You know, I'd like him to give me like an audio tour of something. Just like, and over on your left, see the 18th century architecture.
I and here, I would not want to be any place where Harbaugh is. I would not want to be in the room with Urban
Meyer. Because
Tom
Crean will be there too.
Exactly. That's a bad Thanksgiving. I used to want to be around D'Antonio, but not anymore.
No.
Filthy, grimy place. Filthy, grimy coach.
No. Yeah, there's not that many. But I Fitz is a good one. Because you know with Fitz, you'd eat a good but probably somewhat healthy Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah, he'd have choices there. There'd be some good stuff. I mean, and I bet he's a bourbon man, wouldn't you think?
Oh, I think he'd be out in the yard with Fitz. I don't think I'd want to be hit by him.
No, not at all. Yeah, he'd be one of those dudes who's like a man's man. He'd just like give you one of those slaps on the arm and destroy your back. Like, I already have a bad back. He would make it so I couldn't walk the next day, and I'd be laughing it off and be like, I'm going to die. A lot of muscle there. Even as an older guy, a lot of muscle there. I think outside of the conference, once again, I'm going to go Mike Leach. I would, oh my gosh. Yeah. Entertainment, fantastic entertainment.
Well, someone sent us, speaking of Mike Leach, someone sent us a thing and said, did you guys see this? And it was a story that Chris Peterson told about Mike Leach arriving a half hour late to a Pac-12 head coaches meeting. And he just walks in with an In-N-Out burger and a milkshake and just eats away. And everybody's like, what is with this weirdo? So, yeah, there's nothing.
Mike Leach does what Mike Leach wants to do.
Yep. Period. He learned a while ago. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Who cares? He realized he's a college football coach. It's fun.
Right. It's a good deal.
We wish you a very happy, blessed Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Enjoy your family.
We gave something to you to listen to. You want to put the earbud in instead of dealing with family. See, you get something to listen to.
Right there. Yeah.
Or for your drive to family, you know, sometimes do that.
A lot of people drive safely. It looks like Midwest, the weather will be a little bit better than it has the last couple of weeks. I assume same in Jersey or no?
Yeah. No, it's supposed to be decent. A little chilly for the next few days through Thanksgiving, actually, but then warming up, I think, for the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, enjoy your chores if they keep you from the bucket, too.
Oh, well.
Suboptimal.
You've been listening to the World Sports Hans Mauer.
Love you guys. Good night.
Oh, I almost.